what is the current status of the law of Moses? I believe that the New Testament clearly teaches that the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative, but that does not mean that we are not under any law at all.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're so glad you are joining us. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, and we are right in the middle of a series which I hope, if you have been with us, you are finding very, very helpful, pertaining to the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Why is this important? Because the Jewish people hold the law of Moses up so highly, they revere it. If you were to ask them what is one of the most important things concerning their belief in their Judaism, it's the law of Moses. And the more religious they are, the more they would try to adhere to it. And we've tried to show that God did indeed give the law of Moses, but it was never, ever given to try to bring about salvation or to try to bring a person into a right relationship with the Lord. We've gone over a lot of material already, and I'm not going to take the time to review all of it, but we've talked about, especially one of the things I tried to emphasize, was why the law was given, and it wasn't given to save anybody. Nobody could obtain salvation by keeping the law of Moses. Unfortunately, there are some very prominent Bible teachers today who have a very, very wide exposure because they're on worldwide TV. They have large churches in some cases. And some of them teach that there's a different way for Jewish people to get saved, as opposed to if you're coming from a Gentile background. They say if you're coming from a Gentile background, you got to believe in Jesus. But if you're Jewish, you have a different way. You try to keep the law of Moses. I find that incredible, how they could teach that. My question to them would be, have they ever read the book of Galatians? Because the book of Galatians is so clear that no one is ever justified. No one can be justified by keeping the law of Moses. Then I gave 9 reasons that spells out the purpose as to why the law of Moses was given. I'm not going to take the time to review all of them, but they clearly are laid out for us in Scripture. And then I began talking about what is the characteristic of the law. Are there different parts to it, or is it one unified law? And I believe the Scriptures teach that it's one unified law. There are 613 commandments. That makes up the law of Moses. And I believe it's a single unit. That's why James says if you break one aspect of the law, just one point of it, of the 613, you're guilty of breaking it all because it's one. We can't divide it up the way it's commonly divided up today. The common practice today is to divide the law into 3 different sections: the moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. And some very well-meaning teachers that I love to read and listen to myself, they believe that and they teach that. I would humbly disagree with them. I believe that not only is the civil law and the ceremonial law rendered inoperative by the death of the Lord Jesus, but I also believe the moral law has been done away with. Even though 9 of the 10 commandments are carried over into the New Testament, I do not believe that they are carried over as part of the Mosaic law, but rather what we're going to see as part of what is called the law of Christ. And that's kind of where we left off last time. So we are presently studying, is the Mosaic law operative in our present day? If so, how much of it must be obeyed? If it's not operative, if it's all been done away with, does that mean that we are presently without any law? So to just ask the question, what is the current status of the law of Moses? And I wanted to start out, as I already did, with some primary considerations. And some people might say, well, doesn't the fact that 9 of the 10 commandments that are carried over into the New Testament prove that at least part of the law is still effective? That part of the law is still in effect? Now, we know that the civil and the ceremonial aspects of the law cannot be followed. But they'll say, but what about the moral aspect of the law? If part of the Mosaic law, and that being the moral law, is to be kept by New Testament believers, how do we reconcile the Bible's teaching that the Mosaic law was only given to Israel, and that it wasn't given to the other nations, nor was it given to the church? So it can't be the moral law that the church is under, because the Bible clearly teaches that we're dead to the law, as we're going to see in a little bit. So I believe the clear teaching of the New Testament is that all of the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But since the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative, does that mean that there is no use for the law at all? And I want to pause and answer that question, because I want us to know that the law still has the power to reveal the holy character of God. The law still has the power to reveal the sinfulness of man. And I believe the law still has the power to reveal the sinfulness of sin. So there continues to be value in teaching the law. I believe that there is value in teaching the Ten Commandments. And we know that they are profitable because they're in the Bible. So since the law is in the Bible, it's profitable. It's still there. God didn't have it removed from our Bible. So it's there, and it's there for a good reason, and we could certainly utilize it. It tells us in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For sin shall not be master over you." Listen to this. "For you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be." So the fact that we are not under the law of Moses doesn't make us lawless. It doesn't mean that, whoa, we could run wild. We're not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm free to do as I please. Don't tell me what I can and what I can't do. If a believer has that attitude, I want to just simply let you know, I believe that would be a wrong attitude, because we are not lawless. So I believe that the New Testament clearly teaches that the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. But that does not mean that we are not under any law at all. And as we're going to see, it tells us in the New Testament that we are under the law of Christ. Now, there's another reason why I believe that the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative, and it's because New Testament believers have died in Christ, therefore making the law ineffective. Listen, you know this as well as I do. Laws of any kind have no binding effect upon someone who's dead. You know, they mean nothing. And that's Paul's primary point in his teaching in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to take the time to read several verses in Romans chapter 7. In fact, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. And what these verses are saying is this: since we have died in Christ, the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. We are no longer under that law because we've died. Listen what it says, Romans 7, verses 1 to 7. "Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives?" And then he gives an illustration of a person who's married. "For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning her husband. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of the Messiah, that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now that we have been, listen to this, but now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So what's Paul's point here? His point is this. As long as a person is alive, they're still bound to the law. But if you died, that law is meaningless. You can't be arrested for something when you're dead by breaking the law, because dead people can't break a law. And dead people are not bound by the law. And since we have died in Christ, that's exactly what the scriptures teach, we are not bound to the law of Moses any longer. So I find it interesting that Paul, and by the way, which commandment was it that Paul tells us that he discovered that he was a sinner? It was, you shall not covet. Those people who divide up the law of Moses into those three different categories, the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral, now they want to tell us we are still under the moral portion of the law. But Paul uses a commandment here, you shall not covet, which would be found where? The way they divide it up. This is found in the moral part of the law. So listen to my point. Paul uses a commandment within the moral law to try to prove his point that we are no longer under the law. I find that interesting. If we are still under the moral law, it seems that he would have not used a commandment from the moral law to try to prove that we're not under the law. I hope you follow that thinking, because I find that really interesting. These dear people who divide the law up in three different categories, moral, ceremonial, and civil, they'll be the first ones to tell you, we are not under the ceremonial and we are not under the civil aspects of the law, but we are still under the moral law. But Paul, in trying to prove his point that we have died to the law, uses a commandment from the moral law to prove that we're not even under the moral law. I find that very, very interesting. Well, let me give you some biblical facts about the Mosaic Law. Number one, the Mosaic Law was never meant to be permanent, but only temporary. We read about that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, where Paul asks the question, why the law then? It tells us that it was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, listen, until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. And it tells us in verse 16, you know who that is? That seed is Christ. So the seed has already come. So Paul says, why then the law? It was added. It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through the angels by the agency of a mediator, but only, it was added only until the seed should come. Well, my question is, has the seed come? Of course. The Lord Jesus has already come. So therefore, there's no longer a need for the Mosaic Law because the seed has already come. But wait a minute. Someone might ask, what about Matthew 5, 17 to 19? And these three verses are used feverishly to try to prove that the moral law is still in effect. Listen what Jesus is teaching here. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. He says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What do we say about those verses? How do we justify all that I've been saying about the fact that the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative when it says here that not one aspect of the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished? Well, here's my answer. The Mosaic law did not end with his life. And by the way, he made these statements while he was still alive, right? He made these statements during his earthly ministry. Matthew 5 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching a sermon. So the Mosaic law did not end, as I believe, with his life, but I believe it ended with his death. And as long as Jesus was still alive, he was under the law of Moses. He was able to keep it perfectly. But his statement in Matthew 5, these verses that I read here in Matthew 5, 17 through 19, was made while he was still alive. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it's then that I believe that the Mosaic law became inoperative. So I believe that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 is true. But that was only during his earthly life. When he died and he said, "It is finished," everything was fulfilled. In other words, the law should not pass away until all is accomplished. And I believe that everything was accomplished when he said, "It is finished." Therefore, this couldn't take place, what it says here in Matthew 5, 17 to 19, until Jesus accomplished what he needed to accomplish on the cross. After he did that, I believe it passed away. So to repeat, since the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative, and I believe that was done as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection when he said, "It is finished," I ask the question again, does that mean that there is no use for the law at all? No, I believe that the law still has the power to reveal God's holy character. I believe it has the power to reveal the sinfulness of sin and the sinfulness of man, and there continues to be value in teaching the law. We can learn much from the law, and we should use it in our evangelism because it certainly has the power to convince somebody of their sinfulness, and I think there's reasons for us to utilize the law. So the Mosaic law was never meant to be permanent, but only temporary, and it became inoperative not during the life of the Lord Jesus, but only after all was accomplished. And I believe that that's referring to all that was necessary to provide salvation for mankind and the means for forgiveness of sins. And that was done when Jesus said, "It is finished." Another reason why I believe the law has been rendered inoperative, and another biblical fact about the Mosaic law, is this: that Jesus, being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, required a new law. He could not function under the law of Moses as a priest. And why couldn't Jesus function as a priest under the law of Moses? The reason why was because he wasn't from the right tribe. In order to function as a priest under the law of Moses, what tribe did you have to be from? You had to be from the tribe of Levi. Well, Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. And nothing is written in scriptures about anybody being a priest from the tribe of Judah. You had to be from the tribe of Levi in order to function as a priest under the Aaronic priesthood. But Jesus was not a priest after the order of Aaron. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this required a new law because he couldn't function under the law of Moses as a priest. This is clearly established for us in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 18. It says, "Now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the people received the law. What further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And this is clearer still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside," listen to this, "of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness." In other words, the law of Moses is useless when it comes to Jesus being a priest. And Jesus is a priest. One of the things that he is doing is he is praying for us. He is our high priest, but not after the law of Moses, not according to the Aaronic priesthood, but Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. And because there was a change in priesthood, there had to be a change in the law also. That's exactly what it says here in these verses in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 18. So based upon the fact that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, he couldn't function under the law of Moses because he was not from the tribe of Levi. Therefore, a new law was required. And as such, there was no longer a need for the law of Moses to remain in effect. He is our high priest today. He ever lives to make intercession for us. There were restrictions. There were time restraints. There were genealogical necessities under the Aaronic priesthood, but not so with the priesthood of Melchizedek. So the very fact that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek shows us that the law of Moses was no longer necessary to remain in order for Jesus to be a priest. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, I hate to stop here because there's so much more that I want to continue on with, but our time is almost gone and we have a really, really important point to continue on with next time. But I hope that these studies are profitable for you. I hope that you're learning something, and I can't wait to get into that part where it talks about the law of Christ, the law that we are now under. Up to this point, I've only been trying to prove one thing, that God did give the law of Moses, but it's no longer operative. It's been done away with because of what the Lord Jesus provided for us. And I'm trying to show that point after point after point. So there's more to come, and I hope that you'll stay with us week after week. Well, please write us, and I'm going to make all these notes available to you if you request them. I'll send them to you with one of our magazines with a sampling of our tracks. I'm not specifying how much to send in. I'm not saying send in $15 or whatever. Whatever you feel the Lord would have you do, send that in. That will help us with the expenses that we have to keep these radio programs on the air. Write to MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Make sure you specify that you want these notes on the law of Moses, so I'll know to send them to you. Or you can log on to our website, MidwestMessianicCenter.org. Again, I hope that these have been helpful to you. Think about these wonderful principles that we're going over when you have opportunities to speak to your Jewish acquaintances about the person of the Lord Jesus. Unfortunately, they're depending heavily upon the law of Moses to try to get them to heaven. Let them know that's impossible. Well, until next time, may God bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.